Father, we thank you, we glorify your name. Thank you for your word. You know, after the session we had today, the Lord revealed to our dad here a throne, a very antique, big throne.
Yes.
Made of gold, gold arms.
Yes.
Very thick, very big chair.
Yes, very.
And somebody sitting on this chair, huge person. Sitting on
huge chair.
Yeah, the chair was very huge.
The person is a normal man.
Yes, and there was a man sitting on that chair. Praise God. And of course, the topic of our meditation this afternoon was ascending into our higher self.
Yes.
Ascending into our higher self. Because, like we all know, we descended. See, we were lowered. We descended into a realm that is not of God. And we became like human beings, weak human beings. People who have a sense of separation from God, from the life of God. But in reality, we all originated from God. God is spirit, and the original design is that we all have our being in God. We walk in God. We speak in God. We communicate with God. We never had individual identities of our own. There was no such thing as Trevor. There was no such thing as Nen. All these things came about when we are introduced into this realm called the world. You see it? But right now, when we ascend back into that higher self, when we hear the voice of the Spirit or allow the Spirit lead us into our higher self, we discover that we are Him. We are the one that sits upon the throne. Yes. It's a corporate body. In a letter to the church of Laodicea, this is the seventh message to the seventh church, it says, to him that overcomes, I will grant to him to sit on my throne the way I, Jesus, overcame and I am set on my Father's throne. In other words, it's not as if Jesus Christ ascended and is sitting on a physical throne somewhere. But Jesus Christ ascended into a higher self. His words to Mary Magdalene. So like I said, Jesus Christ, before he left the scene, or rather when he resurrected, he met Mary Magdalene and told her, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Now, what does it mean, I ascend to my Father and your Father, your God and my God? Jesus Christ already has declared that his origin is the same origin with that of Mary Magdalene. His origin is the same origin of you and I. We came from the same place. See, but Jesus Christ descended from the heights of Zion, where God's dwelling is, where God dwells, and he became a man. The Bible says he shared with our human nature with us. He shared in the poverty of his brethren. He was made a little lower than angels. You see it? But he came here with a purpose, and that is to declare that realm, that dimension from which he came back. See it? This is what the Bible calls the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in what? In glory. He descended into flesh, because God is not flesh, but he descended into that form for the purpose of preaching the mystery of the kingdom to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles are the people of this world who are lost, who have lost all knowledge of their origin in God. Look upon the earth today. You have various thoughts, school of thoughts, various beliefs. Everybody has his own idea of what God is. Everybody has his own idea of what religion is. See, the Christian says this one is this way. right within the Christian, you have the Catholic says this way, the Pentecostal says this one, the Baptist says this way, the Muslim says this way, the Christian says you pray this way, the other one says you do, you know, and it's all
Buddhist.
Everybody has his own way of idea of what God is. See, these are the Gentiles who are really annihilated from the life of God. See, as long as you think that there's something in the sky far away that you must sacrifice to, you're still walking in darkness. I'm going to show you from scriptures today. When Jesus Christ says, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God, to is an ascension into a state. You see it? If you look for Jesus today, you will not find him. There's no such thing as Jesus. Forget that. There's only God. Amen?
Amen.
That human form, that low human, he has what been dissolved. There's only God. He has now ascended back into that glorified state. That's why he said in his prayer before he went to heaven, before he went to the cross, he said, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you, in you, before this world was. He realized that he was in the glory of God. Realized that he was that one spirit with God in the beginning. But he descended into this world to preach the gospel. And at the end, he was now going back to the Father. He says, Father, glorify me again with that glory I had with you from the beginning. See, brethren, not all of us have to go through the grave. Jesus Christ says, some of you here will not taste death. See, some people are going to break the barrier of this thing they call death, and they will walk back into the other side. People like, just like Enoch did. Enoch did not die. Enoch walked across that veil or that, you know, wall of separation between the natural and invisible. Enoch disappeared. See, the Bible says he walked with God and he was not. And people like Enoch never had that grace that you have today. I tell you, we have a greater grace today through this message that we are receiving from heaven. Because through this message, immortality and life has been brought to light. Immortality and life is that, you know, immaculate light body that you have within you. Do you know you are immortal? Do you know that you are incorruptible? Is God mortal? Is God corruptible?
No.
If you are in the nature of your Father, then you are also immortal, also incorruptible. Praise God. That is the vision God was trying to show you when you saw gold in a bottle. Within man is that divine nature. Gold stands for something that is divine. So if you put gold in water, what happens? And leave it, what happens? It will remain gold. You know that?
Yeah,
I think there was a discovery some years ago in Spanish waters. A ship sunk many years ago, hundreds of years ago. And the ship was never located until a few years ago. And the ship had lots of gold, billions of dollars worth of gold, billions.
Mm-hmm.
But some people, because of the new technology and all that, were able to
locate
the gold. And it was intact, shining like new gold. See, if it was another thing, it would have been
rusted
and destroyed. But so when you see gold in the Bible, in the Revelations, you see gold street, gold house, gold mansion. People think that somewhere in the sky where you have a gold, you have gold room, gold plate, gold toilet, gold bathroom, see, gold, everything, you know. But God is trying to talk of something that is incorruptible, something that is eternal, something that cannot, you know, be dissolved. Within man is that nature. But men don't know this. These are secrets that are being revealed to us today. Praise God. So I'm going back to the vision that he saw earlier on today after praying. The man sitting upon the throne represents you and I in our ascended state. See, you and I in our ascended state, we are the ones who sit on that throne. See, when you are awake, see, what is happening now is the awakening as you are hearing truth. When you awake back into that true consciousness of the Son of God, you will discover that every dominion in heaven and earth has been given unto you. I say, and this thing is true, it is real. Amen?
Amen.
He says, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me on my throne. See it. It's not that you are sitting here and there's God sitting there. It talks about an ascension into that state where you can sit and rule and reign with God. Praise God. So we're talking of the mystery of godliness here. The reality of it all is that as you are seeing men up and down today, what you are just simply seeing is a manifestation of God upon the earth. But there are two classifications. You are classified a Gentile when you still have a veil over your face. What is a veil? It's a covering.
Something that covers you.
Yes, you are blind. And when you are blind, you don't even know who you are.
Do you know where you are?
Yes. So the work of the ministry is to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And what is the gospel? You know, we hear all kind of gospel today in the world. What is the gospel that... Let us go back to the original idea that we see from the olden days gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the light of the revelation of Christ. See it? That is what the gospel is. The good news is the Christ in you. The Son of God in you. That is the good news. The good news is that you are one with God the Father. The good news is that you can now awaken and enter back into your glory. Paul said that if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden from those who the God of this world has blinded their eyes so that they do not understand the good tidings of the gospel. So that the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. They are blinded by the prince of this world. What is the work of Satan? People think Satan is, his work is just to... The principal work of Satan is to veil you from the secret, from the mystery of who you are.
To blindfold.
That's Satan. That is the spirit that covers. See, Satan, you know, we have lower people are distracted with so many ideas and theories. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The true function of Satan is to blindfold you so that you do not recognize the glorious personality that you are. Hallelujah. Praise God. So what God is doing through this hour is that he is destroying the veil over the faces of the people. Isaiah 25, I'm going to start from Isaiah 25, concerning this veil over the nations. We've defined the nations as those who walk in ignorance, in darkness. Say it. People who walk in darkness and they are not aware of the mystery of their oneness with God. See, you know, we're interwoven with God. God is in us, we're in him. You know, God is fools all in all, but people are unaware of this. Amen? Praise God. People are unaware of this. Why? Because there is a veil over the face of men. So, but let's see what Isaiah 25 says. It says, and in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts... Which mountain is he talking about? He's talking about Mount Zion. Shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the leaves, of fat things full of marrow, of wines and the leaves well refined. He's talking about a feast. God will make a feast where his people will come and eat on his holy mountain. And while they are feasting, look at what happens. And they will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Hallelujah. And when the Lord has spoken, it is amen and it is amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
This is the promise of the Lord that he's going to swallow up death in victory. And how has this death swallowed up his victory? He destroys the veil. Do you know we are feeding now on the word of God? We are feeding on this juicy revelation from God. God has prepared a table before us right now, and we are feasting. See it in the book of Revelation, before God says to him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me on my throne? Before that, he says, I knock on your door. The door. Anybody that opens the door, I will what? Enter in and I will sup with him. That's, I will dine with him. When the Lord dines with you, what happens? It's spiritual food. See, the spiritual food the Lord gives you brings a growth, spiritual growth, and a spiritual and awakening of the mystery of Christ in you. That is why Jesus Christ said the communion. You know, communion today, people take bread, physical bread, and they go up to the altar, you know, and they confess their sin, and they eat the bread and drink the wine. They say, Jesus Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. See, it is deeper than that. See, it's not talking of physical bread. It's talking of communion. Do this in remembrance of me. See, as you fellowship with the Lord, he brings a remembrance of Christ in you. See, remembrance of me. See, I did an article and some lessons some years ago on remembrance. See, and the thing that we are called to remember is our glorious state that we lost from the beginning. That's why in the letter to the church in Ephesus, he says, remember from whence you are fallen. Remember the heights from whence you are fallen and repent. Remember your glorious state when you stood in the Spirit, in God. Remember, remembrance comes by divine provocation, divine inspiration. As you are feeding, do you know that? As you are listening, do you know you are feeding?
Yes.
See, yes.
That's the feast.
That's the feast.
That's
the feast. See, he said, do this in remembrance of me. It is, that is the communion. We are communing on the body of Christ right now. Hallelujah. You know, on the way to Emmaus, or when Jesus Christ was on the way with the disciples, with some of the disciples, on the path with the resurrected Christ, they didn't know he was with them. He was speaking with them and talking to them, and they were all worried about what the things that occurred in Jerusalem, how Jesus died and all that, but they didn't know he was with them. So when it was late, they asked Jesus, because they didn't know it was Jesus, they asked him, the stranger, he was like a stranger, they asked him whether to come in and stay with them for the night, that it's too late, tomorrow morning you go away. So what happened? He entered the house and did what? He broke bread with them. The moment they broke the bread, the Bible says their eyes opened and they saw him. They saw Jesus and he vanished. So you can see, when you have communion, it brings remembrance of Christ. Anything you have, when you have fellowship with God, all it simply does is to remind you of your part in him. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So you see, so when you say feasting upon his mountain, is bringing remembrance of the light body. Like I've told you, Christ is not a being, a human being. Christ is a spirit. Christ represents light. Christ represents the creature of God who is from the beginning. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hope you're getting it. It's a bit. Hallelujah. So it's when we feast, it brings this remembrance to us, and a veil that has covered our understanding is being destroyed. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That veil is being destroyed so that we can now begin to recognize our true nature. We can now begin to recognize our part in God. This thing comes first by hearing, and gradually it becomes a reality. See it? That's why Paul says, be renewed in your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed in your mind. There's a regeneration in our mind, a transformation in our mind. A rebirth, so to say, to realizing something that is already present in us. And gradually we begin to walk in that new nature. Death is swallowed up in victory. When you begin to know the true inner man, you know that you can never die. See it? You know you can never what? You can never die. Never. Death is separation from God. Death is to be separated from the life of God. And that life of God is the eternal life. But in the awakening, as the veil is being removed, there is a conscious awareness of your oneness with God. See, there's been a type of wall of partition between man and God, isn't it? A wall of partition between man and God, and man has been trying to reach out to God on the other side. But when this wall is broken, you discover that there's nothing, there's no more two, but there's only one. And we are all in Him. Praise God. These things are very, very great mysteries. They call it the mystery of godliness. God manifesting in flesh. If Jesus Christ could stand while they were about to crucify Him, and you know, He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Do you know what He meant by that? He's trying to say they don't recognize who they are. They don't recognize from where they came from. They are what? They are blinded. They don't know what they are doing. He meant it. They are what? Blinded spiritually. That they can't even understand. They couldn't get the understanding that He was their life. They couldn't get the understanding that He was preaching for their own good. See, revealing their origin in God. But it sounded like a blasphemy, isn't it?
Yes.
It sounded like blasphemy. How can you call yourself one with God? You, ordinary man. This is to prove again that Jesus didn't have wings. It's to prove again that he went to toilet like all women. See it. He went to do people like women. See it. He too was hungry at times. See, the Bible records that he was hungry at times. He was tired. At times he showed traits of an ordinary man. At times he showed traits of the divine nature that he truly had. In likewise manner, at times we have experiences that are beyond the natural. But at times we walk as men, isn't it?
Yes.
And at times it's not good. That's why it's not good to judge from how you see people. We have to learn to exercise our eyes to see the truth. So it doesn't matter whether somebody has a physical problem, somebody has a sick one way, or somebody has a financial problem, or whatever. We must still exercise our eyes to see the creation from truth, perspective of truth. Paul says, henceforth do I know no man after the flesh. What does it mean? I cannot recognize any man after the outer body anymore. See, but I recognize men by what? I recognize men by what? By the Spirit. I recognize men by what? By the Spirit. And there's only one Spirit. And who is the Spirit? It's God. See it. Henceforth know I no man after the flesh. See it. Henceforth. Now, if you can exercise yourself to just know people after the Spirit, it will keep you from a lot of trouble. It will purify you. You know that? That is the way you can retain your innocence. See? That is the way you can purify yourself. John says that he that has this hope purifies himself. If you can recognize men from the way they are known of God. Because let me tell you, God does not see a man as a sinner. He doesn't see a man as a witch, as wicked. God sees everybody as his own body. When you go higher and see certain things and hear things in the spirit, high up, you hear strange things. Do you know that God took me to a place one time? Do you know when I was seeing people? God was telling me that if you look at people, or if you look at this world after the natural mind, you are looking at the nakedness of God. Do you know that? I heard all these things far high in a high place in the spirit. I heard all these things. God explained to me that Noah, he explained to me the meaning of the curse. You know, the son of Noah was cursed. What do they call him? Ham. Ham was cursed. You know why Ham was cursed?
No.
Because he looked at the father's nakedness.
I see.
The father was naked, drunk with wine. And what did Ham do? He went to call the other two brothers. Come and see daddy. Come and look at our father. And the other ones, abomination, they turned their back. And took a cloth, turned their back. And they went to cover their father. So when the father now woke up and heard what his first son did, he cursed him. He said, a servant of servants will you be. See it. And you know, and he now blessed the other two brothers. Now those things are spiritual. When I was in a high place in the spirit, God now explained to me what that thing meant. First hand revelation I got from God. And God told me that, do you know that if you look at men and recognize men after the flesh, and you fail to recognize my spirit in them, you are looking at my nakedness. And that is why people are suffering under the curse today. See it? When Jesus Christ humbled himself to wash the feet of the disciples, why do you think he was doing that? Who was he seeing?
God.
He was seeing the God in them. The disciples were trying to resist. He said, no, you can't do that to us. You are our master. He told them, you can't understand now. Later, you understand. So as he was doing that, he was seeing God in them. See, even the one that is weak in the flesh today, that has problem today, that cannot pass his exams, the one that cannot, you still have to see beyond natural, see beyond this finite dimension, and dig in, and you will see God in that person. And when you see God in every man, it will purify yourself. It will keep you from problem. See it? You know, sir, when you are in that state of worship, you are in that state, it will keep you from many, many problems. See it? You can't get entangled with the problems of this world. You keep yourself immaculate. So that was the secret of the curse of Ham. And there are many, many other places in the Bible that says that don't look at the nakedness of your brother, of your father. It's even written in the Bible. Honor your father and your mother. You see, it goes beyond just the natural. See it? You have to begin to recognize the Spirit of God in all things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But these things come now as we are feasting together. Our consciousness is being awakened. Praise God. And we begin to see these things that the ordinary man cannot see. Let me tell you, God is not aware of Muslims. God is not aware of Christians. He's not aware of Buddha. He's not aware of traditional juju. All these things are just for men. It's a lower realm. These are things that men do. These are things I've heard. I've not read books. It's things I saw. God is not aware of all these things. These are the things of men. And let me tell you today, religion was the thing that killed Jesus. It's not the drunkard on the street. It's not the prostitute that killed. It is what religion. And it is the same thing today that is still killing Jesus. If I walk into a church today and I carry this gospel with the way I'm preaching, the way I'm preaching it now, you can be rest assured that they will label me a false prophet. You can be rest assured. I can say certain things I've said tonight simply because we're in a small place like this. When I'm in a bigger place, I'm more tactical. Praise God. And the ones who are wise will get my emails and come to look for me later. And they will hear greater things. Praise God. So there's a veil that's been destroyed. And when this veil is destroyed, you discover a dimension that can never pass away. You discover the spirit realm. So you rediscover your true nature. See, isn't it Gideon we were talking about the other day? Gideon. All it's all about is something that is hidden within you. It's the Spirit of God within you. Amen?
Amen.
See, that is the man of God. Every way you can turn the Bible, anyhow you want to turn it. Turn it underground, turn it big, turn it where, look at it upside down, it will still go back to Christ. The laws and the prophets, they were speaking about Christ. They are speaking about the mystery of God in you. The laws and the prophets. If I dissect the Ten Commandments for you here today, you'll be shocked. People think that the Ten Commandments is something that Ten Commandments is a consciousness we can attain to only as we walk in spirit. So because all the Ten Commandments is saying is that we are one. That's what it's saying. And that we're in God. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't covet your neighbor. It's just simply saying that we're one. Only a man that is spiritual, who has ascended, can fulfill the Ten Commandments. Ordinary man cannot fulfill the Ten Commandments. It's not for men. It's written, Paul said that those that are in the flesh cannot please God. So the Ten Commandments is for spiritual people, not for natural man. Even when Moses presented the Ten Commandments to the Israelites, his face was what? Veiled. Meaning that they were not seeing the real thing. Yes. See, Jesus Christ said, I did not come to abolish the Ten Commandments.
No.
But I have come that it may be fulfilled in you. And how can the Ten Commandments be fulfilled? It is fulfilled in us. We can, how do I put over, we can win, be in alignment with the Ten Commandments only as we get the revelation of our true nature. If we recognize the mystery of Christ in us, the mystery of our oneness in God, we have passed the Ten Commandments. It's for spiritual people. Flesh and blood cannot obey the Ten Commandments. There's no way flesh and blood can be one. It's impossible. A man cannot be one with another man. They will always have disagreements. It's impossible. That's why the man has to die. The terrestrial man has to die. The clay vessel has to be broken. So that the spirit man comes out, and that is the Christ in you. So that is the one that, you know, is in agreement with God's word. Hallelujah. So we're talking about the veil that is destroyed in this hour, and the veil of the covering over the nations is that thick ignorance that has hidden the reality of the Christ in us. Hallelujah. Remember Lazarus, when Lazarus came out of the grave, what happened? Something was over Lazarus' face. What was over his face? Over Lazarus, when he came out of the grave, this a handkerchief. His face was covered, and Jesus Christ told him to remove the to loosen him, remove the veil. Praise God. Stick spiritual blindness, spiritual ignorance of the Christ that is in us. Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians, says, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. See, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. See it. That we no more walk as these Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Like I said, Gentiles are those who don't know the mystery of Christ. If you think you are black, you are white, you are male, you are female, if you think that you are born, you still don't know who you are. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Right now, we must get a revelation of Christ. And it comes first of all by teaching. This is why the teaching ministry is very important in the church. See it, God manifest in the world, in the flesh, preached in the world, preached unto the Gentiles. Amen. Preached unto the what? The Gentiles. Preached unto the Gentiles. That preaching aspect is very important. Amen.
Amen.
That preaching aspect is very important. See it, how will they know if someone does not preach to them? You notice whenever Jesus Christ went around, he always taught. He was always teaching. Everywhere he went, he was always teaching. That is the important part of the ministry. See it. The teaching aspect is not just a matter of fanfare. Fanfare and all that. Look, it's how you will hear and know the truth that will save you. Not big fanfare. Big church, big God. You don't need all those things. It's how you hear the truth and know, and that's what God wants. That's all. You can have big churches, big numbers, and at the end of the day, they are all ignorant. They don't know anything. I've seen it. See, I've seen these visions of churches, just coffins in the church. You know where the people are seated? I just saw coffins. All those coffins in the church. Dead people. Worshipping God that does not exist. Praying to God that does not exist. False hopes that don't exist. Why? Because they are not listening.
They are not
listening. They are not interested. They are distracted with the cares of this life. What did Jesus Christ say? He said there are different categories. Some will hear the word, see it, and immediately Satan comes to take it away from them. Some hear, they rejoice, but the cares of this life chokes the word and they can't progress with it. Some, they praise God, they are excited when they hear it, but the cares of this life, of this vain life, of this present glory life, the glories of this world, chokes it and they can't progress. Some fear persecution because you'll be persecuted. If you preach the true gospel, you'll be persecuted. You will not be liked by everybody. Initially, they will still, some will call you a false prophet. See, because you'll be preaching things that goes against the traditions. Yes. Things that go against the traditions of men. See it. You preaching things that will step on you, step on the toes of great men. See it, who have you see it, but we win. It's all written here in the Bible. Anyone who will live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You will suffer persecution. It's not just from the world. It's first of all from your brethren in the church. Religious people are the first people to give you problem. Amen. So the aspect of teaching is very important. See it. Jesus Christ had told the disciples to go into the world, preach the gospel, see, teaching them about the mystery of the kingdom and baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. See, I gave a message on baptism into the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost. We are baptized back into God as we hear the message. So baptism goes beyond ordinary dipping of water. See, you know, religion operates with shadows. You know what a shadow is? Shadow is something that is not the real thing. It's just a picture, or it's just something, a reflection of the real thing, but it's not the real thing. Praise God. But the time has come to go on into perfection in Christ. Perfection is spirit. Perfection is reality. See, our religion, the thing that we practice is exercising ourselves in the mystery of Christ. Exercising ourselves in the mystery of godliness. This mystery of the Christ in us. Right now, begin to speak Christ. See, begin to confess Christ. See, it's no longer I, but Christ. This is the only thing that can save. Eh? It's written here. Even Jesus Christ says, by the words of your mouth, you'll be justified. By the words of your mouth, you'll be what? You'll be condemned. See it. Only by Christ can any man be saved. There's only one name underneath the earth, underneath the heaven, by which a man can be saved, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how can we be saved by it? It's by living by that name. Recognizing that name as the name of the living. Paul, the great scholar, the great religious man of esteem, said what? It is no longer I, but Christ. It's no longer I. Paul is dead, but now Christ lives in me. See it. And Paul did many great works. See it. And at the point in time, Paul says, from henceforth, a crown of life has been laid for me, aside for me. Here, I have run the race. I have finished. I have succeeded. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, that possibility is here for us today. But it's our ability to hear and let go. As you are hearing, you are letting go. Certain things at times you might just have to let go so that you can have, nothing will hinder your walk with God. At times you might be the world can look at you as foolish, but you know that you are holding on to substance, something that will never leave you. And this thing that we preach today is the thing that everybody will still have to revert back to later. They will still remember. Even in their graves, even when they're gone, they will still come back and they will still listen and remember, oh, this is what he was saying. See, you know some of those people who killed Jesus? You know, now some of them in the spirit will now remember, oh, so this is what he was saying. At that time they don't understand, later they will understand, oh, so this is what he meant. You see, at times some people might not, by calling heretic now, but later they will come back and they will still listen. They will still receive. That's why it's good to persevere until the end. What happened to Joseph? Joseph in Bible, he was hated. He was separated from his brethren. See, but God sent him ahead to save his brethren. This same Joseph that they hated now became their bread of life. See, to eat, everybody, the whole world had to now bow to Joseph to eat. Even the brothers that rejected him had to bow to Jesus, to Joseph. He was a type that Joseph was exalted to the throne. The Bible says that he was the only person that he answered to was the king. See it? And they rode on that same horse together. He had the same signals. He had the ring of the king. So if you are seeing Joseph, it's like you are seeing the king. He was exalted above all. That is the exaltation that we, you know, Joseph is a parable too. We are the Joseph company. See, we who have ears, God is preparing us to be life givers. God has prepared us to sit on that throne so that we can give life to the world. Say it. Praise God. The whole world, the whole nations, even those that hated him had to still come to him to live. This is the privilege God gives to those who persevere unto the end. At times it looks like if your friends are leaving, you are going ahead. People are going ahead, but they still have to come back to at the end to come and hear these same words that they have rejected. The cornerstone that they have rejected. The stone that they have rejected has become the cornerstone. Whether they like it or not, they still have to come back. Even the billionaires, the ones that have gone on to make it in this world, and they will still come back at the end. When everything is gone, even in the spirit, they will still come back to come and listen to what you are saying. This is the privilege. It's written here in the book of the message to the church in Philadelphia. It says that I will cause them to come and bow before your feet, and they will know that I have loved you. See, they are not coming to bow before Trevor. They are coming to bow before Christ. Because Trevor is no more. It's not Christ, the Son of God. So they will still come to bow. See, they will, at the name of Jesus, every name shall bow. They will see Jesus manifest in you, and they shall bow to that Christ to live. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So a veil has been removed from our face now, and I tell you the truth. Do you know what God showed us today? Those visions God showed us? Do you know people have passed this earth, they've not seen these things?
No.
Do you know some people have passed this world, they've not seen this kind of visions we saw today? These things that we take for granted. Some people have lived this world 70 years, 80 years, they have not heard what we're hearing today. When death comes, sickness comes, they begin to shake and they're afraid. Why? Because they did not hear. They don't know. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
God. So death is swallowed up in victory as we recognize the mystery of our origin in Christ.
Amen.
As we recognize our oneness with God. As God lives, so we live.
Amen.
And God can never die.
No.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen.
Thank you for the name of Jesus. Our victory is in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Our victory is in the revelation of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you for his veil is being rent.
Amen.
That veil over the face of the people. Hallelujah. So that they can see the light. So that they can get the revelation of their true identity in Christ.
Amen.
So that they can know their origin in the heart in God. Thank you, because you have given us this mystery on the planet of God.
Yes.
Let it form life in us.
Thank you,
let it lead your people back to Zion.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Jesus, then we pray. Amen.
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 Amen.